Burgess. Dina is an Alcornite. She went to Alcorn. She was there while I was there as well. And she is an... Dina, did you start out as a... I don't know why I thought you started out as like a NEEC. What is it? NIC nurse? Like the neonatal nurses? Did you start
out there? I wish. I always wanted to do neonatal. I love the babies. I wanted to, but the thing about it is... you have to have so much training with it. I can never get my foot in the door with neonatal, but I still want to do it.
So when you initially got into, well, I'm sorry, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hello, my name is Dina Wallace. I'm from Natchez, Mississippi, born and raised. I went to Alcorn State University to get my bachelor's in nursing. And after that, I moved to Atlanta, Georgia. Have lived in Atlanta for about 12 years. Love Atlanta to death. And I did about 4 years of nursing, ICU nursing in Atlanta, and I have done 4 years of travel nursing. So 4 plus 4, about 8 years of nursing so far.
Awesome, awesome. What made you choose travel nursing as like your field? Because it seems like you enjoy it, because we're friends on Facebook, so I always see like you traveling, and then you, when you go on vacation, it's like another, like you've already been on vacation from, like when
right.
you
right.
So, what makes you
sleep it? I decided to travel because it gave me the opportunity to visit cities I've never been to. I can go, like I just got done in New York, I've been to LA, I've done assignments in Houston, you know, wherever my family is, I can be close to them. Like my sister is in Houston, I can do an assignment there. My other sister is in Atlanta, I can, you know, go back home if I want to. Or I want to visit a cool city like LA for a year, live it up, but not have to commit fully to that city, I can. So I like the option to explore the different cities and explore the different cultures and food while I'm there. And I just take it all in and take in the city for what it is.
Cool. So I'm 30 something and virgin. When we bring new people on and we try to like educate our people, like I call my viewers the virgins. So we try to educate them on everything. So with you being a travel nurse, do you have to pay for where you stay and different things like that? Or is all of that included in you being at that particular assignment?
So you have the option to, you can take company housing or you can take a travel stipend, and they will pay for, that will pay for your place. So company housing comes included with furniture, a TV, a skillet, pot, silverware, a bed, everything you need, you know, for your apartment. So you can do that. You still will need sheets for your bed. Of course, you don't want nobody else's sheets, right? So you need to bring your own sheets, your own pillows, and anything you want to make to personalize it. So like little flowers. I always bring my, of course, my own sheets and my own comforter, because it gives me like a sense of, even here in the hotel, this is my own comforter because it's my own little sense of home and makes me feel, you know, more at ease. So you can do that, or you can do where you can say, you know what, give me... They'll give you a travel stipend for anywhere from, say, $500 to $1,000 a week. So you can go out and find your own housing. You can go to an Airbnb and find this beautiful, like, one bedroom all to yourself. Or you can rent a room. Renting rooms are a lot cheaper. But then you have to work, I guess, you know, like the people that you're staying with. Or you can pay a little extra and just have a whole place to yourself. So it's really up to what you're looking for.
That is super, super awesome. Well, a little bit ago, you mentioned going to New York. When you were going to New York, was it already your assignment, or were you assigned to it because COVID came?
I actually went to New York. I saw a friend post in a travel nursing group, hey, they're looking for nurses for New York. And I was like, ooh, I ain't dealing with no COVID. I am not going to New York. You cannot pay me to go to New York. Right, so all of a sudden they did this post and boom, they showed the amount they were paying. I was actually in LA and I was making great money in LA, and I saw how much I can make in New York. As scared as I was of COVID and as scared as I still am of COVID, I'm willing to take that risk in order to make my life better long term. So
awesome. Okay, so you went to New York securing a bag. You get there, then boom, like the pandemic in New York, it seemed to be exponential. Like, yeah. It seemed extremely crazy. Tell us about that. Like, how was that initial experience being there? I know, like, sometimes from what I saw, I don't know if it's to be true, so you correct me if I'm wrong, like, you all sometimes ran out of PPEs or were asked to recycle PPEs and different things like that. So what was that initial experience like dealing with COVID-19 once you got to New York?
Well, when I first got to New York, the units were short on, the unit I was on was a neuro ICU, which they completely converted to just a regular COVID ICU, only COVID patients. Getting there, they were short on PPE. You literally had to get your mask from the managers, or the masks were locked up in the back. Only somebody that was like a manager could open the door to give you one mask. So things that we would usually have like access to on a regular basis was locked up. So you would go in the back to get your PPE for, you know, your shift, nothing there, because they would deliver it for each shift. So 7 a.m. shift would get PPE and 7 p.m. would get their own PPE. So it was like that short. And so sometimes when I first got there, they had paper scrubs. I had paper scrub top, I had paper scrub pants, I had shoe covers, I had the little bonnet for my head, I had everything I needed to be safe and feel protected. And of course the gowns, right? So I had everything I needed to be prepared. I still had my face shield, goggles, and my mask. So that was the first week. The second week, no more paper scrubs. Go in with your own scrubs. Like, so you like feel like, oh my gosh, I don't want to expose my own scrubs, because I just had paper scrubs that you would usually throw away at the end of your shift. You would change in the restroom and then go out with your regular scrubs. So it gave you a sense of security. And then all of a sudden that was gone. So then all of a sudden they didn't have any more hair bonnets. So you'll always see me with a surgical cap. They always had masks, but you were supposed to supposedly get one once a week. The staff would get their mask once a day. And because I was a traveler, they only wanted to give it to me once a week. So it's stuff like that that hurts. You know, we're all trying to take care of patients. Like, don't sit up there and do that. Like, where some people were like, oh yeah, give her the mask. You know, we're all trying to make it, you know, make this work. And other people would be like, she a traveler. They didn't want to help me. So it's kind of unnecessary. Okay. You have to just go with the flow.
So yeah. as a traveling nurse, because you weren't committed or like a full-time employee of that particular hospital, they didn't want to serve, like to like support you, even though you were there supporting them.
Even though I was there supporting them, some were still not as supportive of me. And you have to like take it like a grain of salt and keep it moving. They want to see you react. They want to say you said X, Y, and Z to your manager. You cannot give them that kind of satisfaction. You have to say, okay, guess what? I got my own mask. Let's go and take care of these patients, because I came with a supply just in case y'all didn't have them, so I could still do my job. So even if you didn't want to give me an extra mask, I had my own mask. I came prepared, but there's only so many masks I came down there with. So as time went on, I was put in another unit that was super friendly, all the masks and PPE I needed, and I didn't have any more problems. And everybody on that unit was actually agency. There were no staff nurses. So we were all in it together, and it made it a lot easier.
So that's when, because I remember seeing you doing like some TikToks and different stuff, like y'all like doing stuff to enjoy yourself. Because I also saw you protesting for George Floyd.
I did.
I also saw you like when it got like in the thick of it, like you were getting at the hotel and you were like, I did this. I think you were doing like 12-hour shifts.
Right.
And you were talking about like your 12-hour shifts, like how it is, encouraging people to stay inside and out. You and you remember Maurice Burge?
Yeah, of course. I love Maurice.
So I was following YouTube, like trying to keep up with what was happening with this pandemic, like what the disease was doing, because I have diabetes, my mom has diabetes. And just trying to make sure we were clear of it, I was like following you all. So I was like, look, I was watching y'all. I'm like, okay, like I see like certain stuff is happening or whatever. So that was like my little insight. And everybody would always be like, Akilah, why are you so tough? And I'm like, tough about like not dying? Like, I don't want to die. Like, you know, exactly. I know that I'm tough, but that's not what I want to do. What was it like being a nurse for a COVID-19 patient? Can you walk through like how that experience was, and how you had to protect yourself and still be a good nurse for your patients?
In the beginning, it was very nerve-wracking, just because you're scared of something you've never dealt with before. I can remember, you know, getting ready to go to New York, and my hands were shaking. Like, I don't want you to think I'm just like, yeah, go. Let's go get COVID. No, I was scared. I was praying. So prayer comes first, asking God to protect me from COVID. Going in the room fully gowned up. I know it has to be scary for the patients because they can't see your face. It makes them feel like they're, you know, some type of, you know, foreign disease or foreign person that you don't want to touch. You go in, you do your job, you help them as much as you can, but you still want them to feel human. So, you know, they're crying. Some of them are crying. Like, they are scared too. So you have to, you know, go over there, hug them, say it's going to be okay, pat their hand, give them a hug. You know, if they need something, be there for them. If they need to talk to their family members and get them on the phone every day because they can't figure out their phones, because some of these people are older where they don't know, you know, how to work their phone. You know, they always have somebody around to help them with stuff like that. And here it is, they're, you know, trying to communicate with you. That's what they need. Some of them are Spanish speaking and you don't know what they're saying, and you have to get translators to try to make sure you get what they need so they can, you know, get through this process.
Of the during your time there, I remember you at one point, I remember, and I can't remember like if it ever ended, but I knew like you would post and you would like say like, I'm not losing the patient tonight, like, you know, like all of my patients are going to survive. Did all of your patients survive? Did you go through losing a patient to COVID? Or
when I was in ICU, I lost a lot of patients. Unfortunately, they're a lot sicker in ICU. So you are bagging a lot of bodies. You are cleaning a lot of bodies. You are running out of body bags. And it's sad. You know, think about it as your mom or your dad, and somebody doesn't even have a body bag with your mom, and they take them down to you know, the morgue. I mean, it's heartbreaking. I can't imagine somebody doing that to my mom or my dad, you know? Yeah. And so as a nurse, it's gut-wrenching for stuff like that to happen. So every day, if my patient wasn't dying, my coworker's patient was dying. And if, let's say my patient was alive, today, tomorrow they'd be dead and you're getting another patient. So it was a quick turnaround. You're getting another patient, you get this patient, you know, out of the room. I can't get the patient out of the room. The morgue is full. There is no more room. So it was bad when I was in ICU. And then when you go, I was put in another unit that was a med-surg unit. And as patients stayed there in quarantine, and we had to swab them again, they came back COVID negative. Because of that, you can see how, you can see them get better, right? You can see them go home. You can see them go home to their family. So I got to see both sides of it, which was good.
So, and you said that, and when you moved to the second unit, what did you call it? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
It's a medical surgical unit.
Medical surgical unit. Okay. So I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. With that, they just are. They don't have ventilators. They don't have drips that I need to titrate to keep them alive. They are walkie talkie. They can talk to me and tell me what they need. So it's better.
So with the ICU patient, this patient is a person that is actually on a ventilator. They can't do anything for themselves 9 times out of 10. And is would those patients be patients who had underlying diseases or pre-existing conditions?
For all of my patients, they had underlying conditions. I didn't have anybody that, you know, I did have heard of the stories of people that are like 30 and no prior conditions, and boom, they got COVID and died. I've heard of those cases, but I didn't have any of those cases. All my patients had heart disease or lung disease or kidney failure already going on, and boom, you give them COVID, and everything just gets worse. Everything automatically gets worse.
What were some things that you all did to, I guess, heal? Because it's not a cure for COVID-19 as of now, right? So what were some things that you all did to aid in the healing process of COVID? Can you share that? Is it HIPAA?
Okay. For me, I think writing in my journal has helped a lot, as far as like writing my thoughts and what has happened down, helped me a lot. And then after work, I would always take that time to decompress, take a hot shower, I would make sure that I lit candles. I would play, you know, my favorite music. I would make sure I talked to family and friends, to let them know, you know, I'm okay, or, you know, how my day was. And that really gave me comfort. Like, things that would usually give you comfort at home, you want to give you comfort after a long day or hard day. So that's what I did. I know everybody, you know, does different things, and some people have gone to counseling, and counseling has been available for us. So counseling, as far as a crisis counselor to talk about your day and maybe the death that you saw, or the a dying patient that, you know, really hit you hard, as far as like your emotions, and you need to talk to somebody there that was there for us too.
That's good, because that I think in my mind I view nurses and doctors right now as soldiers. So I'm thinking, like, you all are like on the front line, and seeing all this death, you're gonna have PTSD. You know, it's you know, really tough, like dealing with so much, even though you all are already like sort of prepared and trained for that, because, you know, like, you can't save every patient X, Y, and Z. But like, this to me has COVID-19 has like exacerbated that and pushed it to like these bigger astronomical numbers. What are some things, like, health wise that you would tell patients, or that you all would do for your patients in order to help them get back on the other side of COVID?
I would tell my patients that were discharging from the hospital, make sure that you stay hydrated. Make sure that you take your vitamins, whatever the I need to silence my phone. I'm sorry about that. But let me see if I can do, if I do it the other way on the side, then it's gonna
Oh, you're fine. I didn't hear anything.
Okay, good. So it's just me. It's probably just on my side. But I would tell them, make sure they take their vitamins. When they were in the hospital, make sure that they were on over 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. They were also on zinc sulfate, which helps with inflammation, especially with the lungs, because you're like, the virus loves to attack the lungs. So with that, you want to keep down inflammation as much as possible. And then you want to make sure you treat your symptoms. If you are having achy muscles, people recommend Tylenol or Motrin or ibuprofen to help with that. If you have a fever, make sure you take your Tylenol to help with your fever, keep it down. And then the most important thing is, if you start to have shortness of breath, make sure that you get to the hospital. Like, you start to feel like, you know, you're drowning, almost like you're drowning in your fluid. I can't catch my breath. Like, you've been running and you are literally sitting still. You need to get to the hospital.
And you said zinc sulfate to like zinc help sulfate. To help with the yep. lungs. Was that 1,000 milligrams too?
I cannot remember the milligrams on zinc. I have to look it up. But I think it was 200 or 250 milligrams a day we were doing, in order to make sure that just inflammation in the body in general, which if you're having shortness of breath or anything going on with the lungs and they're inflamed, then it would help keep down inflammation. Of course, steroids would help with that too. They weren't doing steroids on my unit. It was just some zinc.
Do you feel, I have a lot of coworkers and different people that I've interviewed on here who talk about like natural healing, like using, the vitamins and different things like that. Do you feel that helps build your immune system just a little bit better to fight off the diseases, or do you think that you like need the medicine too?
I feel like you need, it's according to what else you're fighting up against. Like, some people, you know, they'll get COVID and then they'll get an infection as well. You can have sepsis too, and sepsis is an infection of the blood. So it's not like, you know, it's just COVID. Not just this one little thing. It's gonna be like, it can be multiple things. So if the doctor is like, you have, you know, a blood infection, you need antibiotics, make sure you take your antibiotics. But if you are like at home and you're just trying to treat yourself, hydration, your vitamins. I know people recommend turmeric, and I've already said like the vitamin C and the zinc. I feel like, you know, you have to do all you can to strengthen your body. Even now, like, I take zinc sulfate and vitamin C on a regular basis because I know the environment I'm in. And I feel like stuff like that just helps, you know, in general, because we're all out and about. We're still being safe. But you want to do what you can to, you know, make sure that you help yourself out in case you do get sick.
As you were just talking, I thought about this particular question that I wanted to ask. And is if when you were in the hospital, I know like people were underlining diseases that COVID really affected them. When, let's say, a regular person comes in, and I'm just asking out of curiosity now, just mm-hmm. listening to you, is it that COVID can trigger other things to start happening within your body, like make you septic or different things like that? Or is it something that's already in you and then COVID just brings it out and adds to it?
For me, I just feel like COVID attacks, and it attacks everybody differently. Let's say I go out, bam, I didn't wear a mask, or I wore a mask and still got sick, because some people are wearing masks and still getting sick, but they're not wearing proper masks, right? So they go to Walmart, they get a few things, they go home, they say, you know, I can't smell, I can't taste my food, so I'm going to get tested. They get tested, and they literally don't have, like, any more symptoms. I just can't smell, and I just can't taste. I had a little bit of fever, and that was it. And some people, it's just that simple. And then other people will get sick. Like, say somebody went out to a party and went home to their mom and dad. Well, guess what? Mom and dad have these pre-existing conditions, and they cannot tolerate COVID. Here it is. COVID has completely attacked all of their systems with their pre-existing conditions. And people have come to the hospitals, and they don't recover. So you have people that will recover, people that will recover from COVID. You have people that will get COVID and die from COVID. And then you have people that are going to get COVID and have no symptoms and be fine in 2 weeks. It could be either of the three. You don't know which one it's going to be. That's why you shouldn't play Russian roulette with this virus.
Yeah, it does seem like people are... I don't know why it's like... So I was at home recently, and there were so many parties either in my hometown or around my hometown. And it was just so many people out, and nobody had on a mask.
Nope.
They were just hanging out, chilling. They were all up on each other. And I was just like, I don't understand. Like, what don't you get? Like, why is it not clicking? And we've had several people in my hometown to actually have COVID-19. I don't know if it's because it's like, oh, I had it and I got past it, and they feel like it's okay, or what. I don't know how else to explain it. Like, I don't know what else to say. Like, this is a, like, my father's oldest sister, she was 80-something, almost 90. She was in decent health. She had a stroke. Had a stroke, went to the hospital. This was right at the start of COVID-19. She caught COVID-19 in the hospital while she was rehabilitating from her stroke.
Wow.
Got sick, had a fever, went back to the hospital, and died of COVID-19.
Wow.
Now, I was telling people, I'm like, y'all, this is real. Like, my aunt, wasn't nothing wrong with her besides, you know, she had just had a stroke, but she was rehabilitated from the stroke. She could talk again and everything, whatever. She was healthy for an 80-something year old.
Right.
And then to go to contract it in the hospital and then die. I'm like, well, like, y'all, I done lost somebody from it, so I'm not playing with this. I mean, everybody else is like, it's okay, you know, it is what it is. We want to go outside. We want to party. And I'm just like,
yeah.
You do all these things, and you keep forgetting that if you're not here and we're shoveling dirt on you, you're no longer partying. And maybe people feel like, I don't know, like, it's okay, but it's mind-boggling for me to see people like be so excited to be outside right now.
Like, I look and I'm like, oh, okay, you enjoy that party, you enjoy that beach, you know, that's great, you know, because you have a choice. You have a choice to isolate to make sure you don't get it, or you have a choice to go out and live your life. You get to choose. But, you know, my thing is, people don't really take COVID seriously until it affects them personally. And until it affects them personally, they think that, you know, COVID is kind of over for them, especially people in a small town like where we're from. They don't think, oh, COVID ain't gonna be here, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go to this party. But you don't know where everybody at that house has been. You don't know who they've been exposed to. And COVID is not gonna going to present itself as you see it on the news. It's not going, you're not going to see this person coughing in your face. They're not going to present with a fever. They are literally going to be talking to you. And those particles, those droplets, that's all that's needed. That's all that's needed.
That is why is it so important to wear a mask? I'm gonna start asking silly. It might sound like silly questions to you, but I want everybody that sees it to be like, okay, we got a little bit of an education. So why is it important for me to make sure when I go outside I have my mask on? And I don't have it down here because we hanging out and I want to talk to you, but I actually have it above my nostrils.
Correct.
Like I have it like this.
Correct. For you to it's important. The easiest way I can say is, if you wear a mask, you're keeping your germs to yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you wear a mask, you're keeping COVID, if you actually have it, to yourself. If we both wear a mask, it maximizes the potential of us not getting COVID by us both wearing masks. You keeping your germs to yourself, I'm keeping my germs to myself. It makes it a much safer situation compared to, I got on my mask, and here it is, you don't have on a mask. Whatever, if you have COVID, it is just spraying in the air. It is, with just conversation, it is spraying. But guess what? It's spraying even more with a sneeze and a cough. But it's still there. It's still there just with talking. So it's not, that's my thing. It's that simple. You and me talking in the store, it is that simple.
And with it being, are they saying that, I'm trying to remember last time I watched the news, because I hate watching the news. But COVID is airborne, correct?
As far as I'm concerned, it is.
Yeah. Okay. So, and that, with it being airborne and then thinking about the droplets, the importance of the mask and the 6 feet is only to protect each other, right? Like, that's consistent protection of yourself. Giving a person 6 feet, wearing the mask, do you have to? I've seen a lot of people riding around with their mask on in their car. And it's always baffling to me that you have a mask on in the car, because it's just you or whoever you live with.
You're not protecting yourself from anything. You're not keeping your germs from anyone. No one's in the car with you. You can really just breathe and take your mask off. You're in the car. You're good. You're actually good. If you're out for a walk in nature, in the forest by yourself, you're okay. You can take your mask off. You're absolutely by yourself. It's when you get in the stores that you don't know who may have touched that or sneezed on that or coughed on an object, and then you touch it and pick it up. Or you go up to the cashier and you press the pad, your pin, in order to get the items you just got. You don't know who else just touched that pad. So that is those kinds of things. Or you're at a restaurant, who else touched those bottles on the table? Who else touched the salt and pepper shakers? You know, who touched the cup? What about the waitress? I mean, it's like, it's almost like a movie. Like, everything you touch, you need to be cautious of. Who touched it? What's on it? You can't see COVID. So sanitizing and washing hands is so critical.
Yeah. I immediately started. I've always, like, kept hand sanitizer and stuff like that or whatever, but after COVID-19, I just had like this. My niece came and stayed with me for about 5 weeks. And I was like, so this is the routine. You know, we don't wear shoes in my house anyway, but if we go to the store, we immediately come in the house, whatever it is we bring in, we spray it down, we wash it off, and then we take off our clothes, put them in the washer, and we get in the shower. We don't touch anything else before we do that.
Like,
it has to happen that way. Like, I even wash my glasses off as soon as I come in the house. I wash my phone off. Like, whatever it is, I have to wash it. Because I don't want to get sick. My god sister was talking about going back to school, because, you know, I'm a school teacher. And right. I was like, oh, I'm not going to nobody's classroom. She was like, why are you not going back in the class? I was like, girl, please, I don't know what these kids got or what the teachers at home got. Because, you know, some parents are still working. You never know or whatever. I just don't feel like it's safe. And I'm like, I got a pre-existing condition. I ain't met my husband. I had my babies yet. Y'all ain't finna stop that.
You better tell them, like, I protect myself for my future. I'm not risking my life for y'all.
Yeah, like, I'm not. That gonna do that. What do you feel about, like, the rush for the economy to open, like, for us to open back up and go to school and all of that? What do you feel about that?
You know, it truly disgusts me. As far as I'm concerned, it's not the best option for us, but they are more concerned about the economy than they are about your health. Mm-hmm. Until people start dying by dropping like flies by record numbers, then the economy, as far as the people that are in power of our country are concerned, is what's most important. And so the stock market and, you know, economy is what's most important, then guess what? Our health doesn't matter. They feel like COVID's going to be around. Oh, you know, let them get back to spending money. So, you know, our stock market can still stay good. So that, if that's all they care about, then only people are going to suffer are, of course, the citizens and people of the public. They're, of course, going to suffer. But then your healthcare workers are going to suffer. They're going to continue to get sick because they're being overworked and understaffed at these hospitals. And there's not enough critical care nurses or nurses to go around to all these places that are surging. So you are now crying for help when we told you to shut it down a long time ago, but nobody wants to listen, right? So it's all about the money.
Yeah. It's, we were, we also had a podcast about 2-3 weeks ago where we just talked about, like, I brought teachers to the table because I feel like our voices, nobody was asking us. It was all the higher ups. We're going to make the decisions. And I'm like, you know, like, we haven't asked us how we feel. I have coworkers and friends who are teachers and our parents. And just thinking about taking that back home to your child or your child that has COVID, that has no symptoms, that is totally fine, that is dealing with it, doesn't know they have it, go home and then get into their multi-generational household. And now you have the mother who has heart disease and diabetes who now cannot breathe and doesn't understand what is happening. It might now think that she's having a stroke or a heart attack when it's actually COVID attacking her. But she doesn't know that because she didn't know that anybody in the house had COVID-19.
Yeah.
And it's really sad. Yeah, it's really difficult to explain to people. Like, I have one of my nephews, I'm ready to go back to school. And I was like, you know, somebody asked me, they said, Akilah, how you doing over there? Because you single and you by yourself. I said, girl, you know, it's tough. But I ain't ready to stop living, so I'm good. Like, I'm cool. I get to wake up every day and turn my TV on. Make dinner. Call my mommy and daddy. Check on people. I'm good.
Go on social media. I'm good. Like, I'm like, okay, well, you say it's hunker in and stay at home. That's what I'm going to do. So my thing is, this is not going to last forever. You know, the summer is over. 2020 summer, oh, it's done. So as far as that's concerned, it's over. We know that. And then going forward for schooling, I get concerned for the students that don't have access to the internet, or they don't have computers or iPads in the virtual classrooms. I'm like, what are the schools going to do about that? That's how I feel as a nurse looking at it, you know, on TV and the news. What are they going to, you know, do? Like, you can't sit up here and say, y'all got to come to school. It should be an option. It should be an option. It should be what the parent is most comfortable with, because nobody has to deal with the consequences but them.
Exactly. And they should be, I know a lot of school districts now are doing different things where they're, like the school district that I work for, when this first started, we gave out Chromebooks and we didn't take them back up. So the students still have those Chromebooks.
Oh, that's good.
They help certain parents, like if you were in need, they help you get a hotspot or to get internet connection and different stuff like that. So there's stuff that's available. I think that everybody has to be willing. And everybody has to be willing to do the work. And that means if you're going to be a parent at home and your kids are virtually learning, that means checking with little Johnny and little TT, making sure Johnny and TT then did their work. And not just putting it all on the teacher, because for instance, I had a virtual class on Tuesdays and Thursdays. When it first started, I had a plethora of kids coming in. The closer it got to the end of the school year, they dropped off. Just dropped off. And I remember calling a parent and saying, hey, you know, can you talk to X, Y, and Z? She is not attending class, da, da, da. Well, can you call her and tell her she needs to come to class?
Shouldn't you be doing that?
Like, you want me to call her and see her? I said, okay, you know, what's her number? Call her. Oh, you know what, Miss Miles, you're right. You know what, I'm going to do it. I promise. Did nothing.
That's horrible.
You know, like, I have that fear of that same thing happening again, but by that same token, I don't want to martyr any children. I don't want to be a martyr for anybody right now. That's not where I'm in my life. You know, that's not what I want to do. I want to be I'm a proud educator. I want to see my kids. I would love to be back in my classroom because it's much less work when it's in the space, like when you're in that space.
Right.
I think I'm doing the logical thing, and that is teaching virtually. I'm going to teach virtually, and I'm going to be available. I have my telephone number. You got my email. You want to Zoom me? Whatever you want to do, let's do.
Yes, I agree.
Come in contact with each other. What are some things that you would like people to know, or you wish that they understood about COVID-19?
I feel like people don't take it seriously that it's a silent killer. Like the person walking around the grocery store, you no mask, you know, it's, you don't know if they have it or they don't have it. It's something that you can't see or touch, but you need to fear it because once you get sick, they're not letting family members come to the hospitals. You know, you're in the hospital by yourself and you are scared. Like, okay, here it is. We don't have a cure for you. It's just going to have to take its course. And everybody's course is different. So here it is. Say if I get sick, I might recover in 2 weeks. Say you get sick, you may not recover. That's the thing with COVID that I wish people truly understood. How some people are like, oh yeah, I'm asymptomatic, I'm good. And other people, you know, get it and how long am I going to have it? How long am I going to be sick? There's no time clock on it. You could be sick for months. You could be sick for months. You could be sick for 2 weeks. It could be either or. So guess what? COVID will run its course and be done with you when it's done with you. So do you want that in your life? I mean, if I put it in that perspective, I think people are like, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the truth.
I need for you to wake up. I like to do like reality checks. Wake up. It could be either or. And you could be 30 or you could be 60, honey. COVID does not care.
I think I saw some stories recently where a couple of babies have died with COVID, like a 5-month-old or something like that.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah,
it's really, you're not putting masks on those babies, and it is Uncle Johnny coming in with not showing any symptoms, but holding your newborn.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. I wouldn't let nobody get around my newborn with COVID in the air, but you know, some people, I guess, you know. Just don't take it seriously.
So when you said COVID could run its course, COVID is going to run its course, not could, but it's going to run its course.
Mm-hmm.
What is the, you said, so like sometimes you say it goes for months or it goes for, it could be 2 weeks. Have you seen it different amongst different age groups or does it just not matter? You just never know.
You just never know. It could be, it doesn't say, you know, I'm going to run its course, on 2 weeks on this person and then 60 or 90 days on this person because of age. It doesn't discriminate. It doesn't discriminate. You can see 30 and 40 year olds sit up here and be in the hospital 3 months and hey, you still on a ventilator, you still on drips and you're still sedated and paralyzed due to this disease and we're taking care of you. So here it is. You can be 20 and it's still the exact same thing. 60 or 20, it can happen, unfortunately.
So you said you like to do reality check. Give us a reality check of taking us through a day of being with a patient who is on a ventilator. Like, what is their typical day like?
Their typical day, they are, most of my vented patients, they're vented. You're gonna have a tube down your throat. You have a tube that goes from here to here, all the way down. It's uncomfortable. So you are sedated in order to get that tube in. That tube is in. Once it's in, you have a drip that will most likely keep you sedated. You have a drip that most doctors do that paralyze you. So you're not up there
you're not over-breathing your vent, right? If you're over-breathing, you're overworking your lungs. Guess what? You can't get oxygen if you're overworking your lungs and you're like this. What they do is they paralyze you and they let the ventilator basically breathe for you. The ventilator does everything for you. I help operate it. So do my respiratory therapist. Some people are on heparin drips. Some are not. Some need blood pressure medications. I manage that. Some need pressors. So you need medication to keep your blood pressure up because your blood pressure is too low. So the thing with COVID is it eventually starts to shut down all your organs. So your heart didn't want to function right. Your lungs don't want to function right. Of course, COVID attacks that. It starts to affect your kidneys. So it slowly starts to affect everything. And you need a medicine for all of that, and I help to manage it. So I have to do everything for you. I have to clean you up. I have to give you all your medication. You usually have a tube that goes through your mouth down to your stomach, and I give you medications through that tube. So what else can I tell you? You have a Foley in. The Foley drains all of your urine. You usually have a Flexiseal in that goes into your rectal area that helps to drain any diarrhea or basically diarrhea that you're going to be having. I still do mouth care for you
so you don't get bacteria down to your lungs.
And it can be a lot. It can be a lot. So
it's something that I deal with on a regular basis in ICU.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
That was a lot and hella scary because you're like, they paralyze you. So that it's like you're almost in an induced coma almost or whatever. Like, you can't control any function.
You can't control anything. You can't lift your arm. I do all that for you. I'll be turning you to make sure your skin does not break down. Because if I don't turn you from side to side, your skin will break down. That creates another problem. Your skin broken down leads to another infection into your blood. We're dealing with a whole nother problem. And it builds on top of each other. It's not something that, you know, you would want for yourself or for a loved one.
Not at all.
Mm-mm.
Oh, shoot. That is crazy. Yeah, I think I had lunch with a friend today, and she was talking about a family friend who was a young guy, early 40s, and he was diabetic, contracted COVID, and the medicine that he was given for COVID, it worked against his diabetic medicine, and he passed away. So, like, just thinking about, I want the viewers and people that watch this to understand, like, this is not anything to play with. Like, you might walk in there and you walked in there like that, but when you get in that bed, it's over. It's sedated. You're not controlling anything. All of these different things that can happen to you in the midst of just being in the hospital for COVID.
Yeah, that's it. Sometimes you have to call their family members and you let them know this might be the last time that you talk to your family member. This is the last time you might have an opportunity to say goodbye or say hi or say hello to your mom, your family, your daughter, or your son. Would you like to call them at this time? They get to call them. They get to say, you know, I love you. Like, pray for me. I'm scared. I don't want to do this. It is heart-wrenching. After that, okay, you have anything else you want to say to your family? And they're crying. No, I don't have anything else to say. Okay, we hang up the phone. You are given something to make you sleepy and sedated. You're intubated. And some people don't ever wake up because they die from COVID.
What does it mean to be intubated?
Intubated means that you're going to have that tube down your throat. The one that says it's going to go down here like this. Just like that, you're going to be intubated, have a ventilator, which if you ever hear anybody say a breathing machine or that is what they're talking about. It's a machine that basically gives your lungs oxygen.
Oxygen. Okay. I just want to make sure I was right. That's why I asked. Like,
no, you're good.
awesome. Well, Dina, it has been a true pleasure and honor. I love when I have Alkanites on because it makes me so excited, especially since very successful and powerful Alkanites like you. So thank you so much for being on. Is there any last words that you would just like to share with the people? It could be about anything. It doesn't necessarily have to be about COVID. It could be something inspirational if you would like.
My last words would be, you know, take this time to be closer to family. I've seen a lot of stories on the news where people have taken time to, you know, spend more time with their kids or start a business that they would not have started without this extra time at home. Take advantage of the extra time you have at home. Sort your mail, sort your inbox and your email, because we all have junk mail we need to go through. Just to take advantage of the little things. Like right now, I'm learning more about the stock market. I'm not an expert at all, but I have a lot of friends that are. So I'm taking this time now to really educate myself on it. So educate yourself on something that you want to know about but haven't done. You know, how can this time at home be beneficial to you? You know, I've been saying for years I'm gonna start a blog, and I plan on it within the next month. So it's given me a chance to pursue something that's been a dream of mine. So look at it as a positive instead of a negative. And so that's my biggest thing. And to also, you know, don't let it be that, you know, you get infected or your loved one gets sick. That's when you take it seriously. Take it seriously now. Now is the time to take it seriously. So that's it.
Awesome. So you're going to get ready to start work tomorrow, huh?
I will start on Tuesday. So I'll be in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Oh, well, good luck to you in Corpus Christi. I know you're going to do well. I can't wait to see the group of, I love watching like the little nurse TikToks, because you all do some funny stuff. You be
thank
like,
you.
Oh, yeah, having fun. So I know you're going to have fun. I'm sending like love and light your way and prayers that you stay COVID free and healthy, and that you're able to like continue to be a blessing to your patients and your family.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm so grateful. You have a great night and a good week.
Thank you. You too.
Bye. All right, Virgins. Thank y'all so much for watching with us tonight. COVID-19 started late December in China, and it has been kicking ass. I don't know how much longer Corona is going to be here, but what I do know is that coronavirus, COVID-19, is extremely serious. And it's something real. It's real. And we should take heed to it. I think that we play too much sometimes. Sometimes we don't know when to sit that ass down. And it's nothing wrong with sitting down right now and doing like what Dina just said. Like, hey, I'm going to sit down and start a business, start a blog. Bake with my babies, cook with my babies, or do something, bond with my family, clean up my house, change my house, whatever it is, find something productive to do with your time. Besides having to be outside with your homies, or go to the vodka parties, or be on a beach with like 50 million people like right there beside you, like all of that stuff, like it can wait. It can wait. It does not have to be that you are like right now doing everything. And please don't think that here on 30 something version we are judging. I'm just being honest. We're speaking the truth. We are worried. If you're like me and you have a sick mom, you're sick, whatever, you're just thinking about the reality of what life is right now. This is our new normal. And once we adjust to it, I think we could really fight this disease. But until we keep pretending like it's not here, like it's not real, and we recognize it, like Dina just said, it's a silent killer. Until we realize that and we start moving the way that we need to move in order to break these high astronomical numbers that we're seeing in Texas, that we're seeing in Florida, I don't think we're going to be safe. If you know anything about a pandemic, or anything like the bubonic plague, was it Spanish flu? I might be saying it wrong, but those things, if you look back, they lasted for a while. If you look them up, they lasted a long time. It wasn't like, oh my God, it came, it saw, it conquered. No, it came and it set its ass there. And that's what COVID is doing on us. It's sitting here and we're outside like high-fiving and saying, what's hi, let you hear. Come here.
They call it right there saying, hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing? You want me to sit at your table? I'll come. I'll come. And if y'all know anything, this is what I wanted to ask Dina, and I forgot to ask her. But I will get some information for us, and I'll share it with you all as well. There's a new strand of COVID-19 that is out. And this new strand of COVID-19, you don't test positive, right? You will not test positive. You will have all of the same symptoms probably, or some form of the symptoms that we now know of, but you won't test positive for COVID. I think they're calling it some type of pneumonia, right? So, like, just think about that, y'all. Please be safe. Y'all know we constantly trying to bring y'all stuff that is about different things that are affecting our world, what's happening, what we're on the verge of, and shit. We're on the verge of being extinct if y'all keep playing. That's what it is.
If people are leaving.
If y'all don't keep playing, the aliens gonna come from the other place. I saw this TikTok where somebody put on like a little alien suit, and they were like
passing by Earth.
Yeah, they're like passing by Earth. Y'all think we should go there? Nah, we're gonna steal that. We're gonna steal that. We're gonna let them have it. The aliens don't even want to be here.
Talking about us down here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't even take it. Thank y'all so much for joining, Virgins. If y'all have not had an opportunity to subscribe to 30 Something Virgin, you need to do so. Both the YouTube channel and the Facebook page, y'all missing out. And like, we're putting out some bomb ass content. Like, when I say exciting, informational, helpful, impactful, that's the work that we're doing. So please, at least like the last 7 or 8 episodes have been so important. So y'all should jump onto YouTube, subscribe. We need to bump that subscribe list up. Go ahead. Then you need to come on over here. Go on, hit that like button, that follow button on Facebook. Then y'all, let me tell y'all, I've had so many people, thank you God, the last couple of days be like, oh my God, I enjoy so much. I look forward to getting your emails on Monday and Friday. Oh, I have you on my list for Spotify, so every time you drop, I listen to it. Oh, I got you on my Apple list. I'm like, man.
We are on all podcast platforms. Listen everywhere. Everywhere.
Oh, I don't know how to get to the podcast platforms. Well, let me help you. www.akilamiles.com/podcast. Once you get on my page, you'll see all of the platforms right there. Just pick your one. You ain't got to be, you know, you do whatever you want to do. You can pick as many as you want. Subscribe when you get there, too. Right?
On your phone, on your laptop, on your TV, in your car, on your watch, on your tablet. We are everywhere. You don't even need the app. You can just go to the website.
That's it. And then type in 30 something in Virgin, and my little logo is gonna pop up. It's gonna show you my baby. And you know, I'm so grateful that you all are supporting my baby. My baby just means so much to me, and I'm just so excited. What's that? Who's that? Kevin Carr is so excited. Well, Virgins, it has been an awesome. This is a Sunday. We recorded on Sunday. I don't know when it's gonna drop, but y'all are gonna get it. Been an awesome day. I appreciate you all. I'm grateful for you all. Go like, subscribe, share, do all of that good things. And if you want to be a part of the podcast, feel free to go on www.akilamiles.com/podcast. Click it that says guest host and fill out the information, and we'll find a way to get you on. You get an email from Mr. Edwards. Thank y'all. Y'all have a good night.